The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it was a very interesting week 14 in the NFL. We had some crazy games, some weird endings, some blowouts, some close games. So let's get right into it. Starting off with the Houston Texans at my Dallas Cowboys. I'll tell you what, I pretty much ran the gamut of every single emotion I've ever had in my entire life during this one freaking game. Because you know, at first it was really fucking awesome. Like, woo, Cowboys, they gonna kick ass. And then all of a sudden they start getting in their own way, turning the ball over. And then all of a sudden the Texans have the lead. And then as the game is going on, I'm slowly starting to get into the mode of really pissed off and like, are we about to lose to the Texans? But thankfully, the Cowboys were able to put together an amazing 98-yard drive in which they were able to come back, get the win against the Houston Texans 27-3. It was actually an epic comeback, actually, in my opinion. I know most people today in the media, of course, are roasting the Cowboys because that's what they do. And whenever the Cowboys do anything, it's always got to be taken differently and blown up in different ways. Way I look at it is, A win is a win. And B, this is the NFL. You're tested every single week, and these are legit teams, and it's any given Sunday, and any fucking thing can happen. And you need games like this, actually, to test you to see if you're ready come playoff time. Because in the playoffs, there's a good chance you might need to make a comeback. And a 98-yard drive down the field was actually a pretty big deal. As a matter of fact, it started even before the 98-yard drive. The Texans actually were able to get an interception off of Dak Prescott, and they were set up in beautiful field position. They were at like the 10-yard line, something crazy like that. They were in the red zone for sure, and the Cowboys defense held it down, and they actually went for it on fourth down, and Cowboys did not let them score, so they took over and had to drive it down 98 yards down the field. And I don't know why this happens a lot with Dak, that like for some reason, because, you know, throughout the game, it's very frustrating because you'll see a lot of his passes like peter out and it's like, dude, can you throw? And then he takes him down the field on this 98-yard drive. And I swear to God, the dude is like throwing darts. Like some of these passes are just the most precise things you've ever seen. And I'm like, why does this only happen at the end of the game when we really need you? You should be like this always. But I mean, hey, what I really liked to see is that the Cowboys completely got in their own way. They were losing this game. They played like shit the majority of the way throughout, except for basically when the defense stopped the Texans on that fourth down and the Cowboys drove down the field on the 98-yard drive and were ultimately able to score and get the win. But, hey, man, it's a great drive, and you need wins like that. So it was very, very emotional for me. I was very winded after that game for sure. And I did not expect to be because it's the fucking Texans. But hey, as I said, any given Sunday. Speaking of Dak Prescott, he went 24 for 39, 284 yards and a touchdown. I mean, really, The quiet running back of the year has actually been the Houston Texans' Damian Pierce. He had 22 carries for 78 yards and one touchdown, but I mean, he's really actually been probably the only bright spot for the Texans this season. So, yeah, that was a crazy ride yesterday, but hey, a win is a win. And you haters, I know you're laughing it up, but we still gonna be in the playoffs, and Cowboys are still 10-3, so suck a dick, motherfuckers. Next game was Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Went as I expected it would. As a matter of fact, it kind of went even worse because, you know, the Ravens didn't have Lamar Jackson to start, so Huntley started. And Huntley ended up getting injured in the game, and they had to bring in their third-string quarterback. And then on the Steelers' side of the ball, Kenny Pickett, he got concussed. He got a concussion, and he was out for the rest of the game. So Mitch Trubisky came in for him. So it was backup quarterback central in this game. But it was really all about the Ravens' ground attack. And actually, the Ravens' defense was really able to hold it down. I mean, the Steelers' offense is very weak and vanilla and probably one of the worst in the league. So that doesn't really say much. But hey, it's your division opponent. And when you get a win, it's always a good thing. And so the Ravens did get the win 16-14. J.K. Dobbins, he came back from the injured reserve list. He had 15 carries, 120 yards, and one touchdown. So obviously he was the workhorse for them in this game. But it's very anemic out there for the Ravens and their quarterback situation. And we'll see. That could potentially cost them a playoff spot. I mean, I feel like they're at least I feel like right now the way it's looking is the Bengals are they're going to take over that division. And the Ravens will probably get the wild card spot. But if Lamar Jackson's out any longer, I mean, I don't know how what the rest of their schedule looks like right now offhand. But, yeah, they might be in some trouble. And then the Steelers, they just suck. So that was just more suckage from Pittsburgh. Then the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills went as expected. The Bills won 20-12. And this was just really all about the Bills' defense. You know, the Jets have been all about their new quarterback, Mike White, and he got his ass blown up yesterday. He was on his ass all day. He even had to leave the game at one point. He did come back in, and then at the end of the game, they ended up taking him to the hospital just because, you know, if you break your ribs, they tend to usually take you to the hospital just because ribs, they can sometimes puncture a lung or your liver sometimes. There's just always weird things that can happen with your ribs. So they usually do take you to the hospital if something happens with your ribs. And he did get the all clear and did go home with the team, but he got pounded. But he did stick in there, and even the Bills defense was very impressed with him. They were like, he got blown up all day, and he came right back in the game, and he just took it like a man. So, yeah, the Jets seem to be very all in on Mike White right now. And then the Bills, they just did what they do. They scored. Josh Allen had some great runs and was doing some more jumps over defenders and everything. So Bills looking real good right now. Then the Cleveland Browns at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals finally were able to beat the Browns. Joe Burrow this was basically the only thing that Burrow has not done within his division, at least in his short career, is to at least get a win against the Browns, which says a lot because the Browns suck. But hey, that's how it goes, division opponents. But they were able to get the win this week, 23-10. They pretty much owned the Browns the whole way through. Deshaun Watson had a pretty, he was okay, but it was actually kind of funny to see a bunch of Cleveland Browns fans. The overall consensus is a lot of them actually were wanting Jacoby Brissett back in the game, so I guess it was that bad of a game for Watson. Cuntson. I gotta get that right. Deshaun Cuntson, that's the proper terminology for that big fucking cunt. Anyways, so he had, stats-wise, it doesn't look like that bad of a game. It was 26 for 42, 276 yards and a touchdown. But he did have some bad interceptions, and he just is not providing a spark for this offense, which I find completely amusing, but I digress. Moving over to the Bengals side of the ball, this team is on fucking fire. Jamar Chase had 10 receptions, 119 yards and one touchdown. And they just are getting better. I'm serious. I feel like they could easily end up overtaking their division just because the Ravens' injuries, and they really weren't, even without the Ravens' injuries, the Ravens aren't that potent of a team. The Bengals are looking really, really good right now, and they're on a run. And this kind of looks like a team you really don't want to face right now because they're going to give you their best shot no matter who you are. And the Bengals are 9-4 and looking damn good right now. Then the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions offense is just something else. They just seem to get better every week, and they are a scrappy-ass team. They got the win 34-23, and I mean, that score looks kind of close, but for the most part, Detroit dominated this game from start to finish. I mean, Jared Goff, as I've continued to say, I mean, this guy is impressive in a Detroit Lions uniform, and I'm very shocked because I expected him to go absolutely nowhere once he got traded to the Lions, and he has shut up people like me, that's for damn sure. And then also, their rookie, Jameson Williams, his first game back, actually his first game in the NFL, he was drafted this offseason. He was actually coming off of an ACL injury last year in college. So this is his first game back, and he caught his first career TD on a 41-yard catch, so shout out to him. And I mean, it really actually wasn't a bad game offensively for the Vikings. Usually when the Vikings lose real bad, you expect Kirk Cousins to have a bad game. And actually, no, he went 31 for 41, 425 yards and 2 touchdowns. Justin Jefferson had a great game, 11 receptions, 223 yards. So you got to ask yourself, what was the problem? And apparently it was that Vikings defense. They just were blowing coverage. I was watching some of the highlights and I was like, damn, some of these guys are just wide open and they don't even know what they're doing. So that could end up being an Achilles heel for the Vikings with once the playoffs hit. I don't think this was just like a weird division game that they lost. I think they got completely exposed defensively. And the Lions have a high-flying offense. So if the Vikings were to face somebody like the Eagles, who have an high-flying offense, they're going to be fucked. So we'll see what happens come playoff time. But that Vikings defense has got to step it up. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars were at the Tennessee Titans, and man, the Jaguars showed out in this one. They kicked the Titans' ass 36-22. Right now, the Titans are in a 3-game losing streak. They are not looking good at all. I mean, honestly, there are 4 games to play with every team, and the Titans could potentially lose this division. I mean, the Jaguars are actually kind of surging. The Titans, they went to Derrick Henry all day. As a matter of fact, he had a great game, 17 carries, 121 yards, 1 touchdown. You would think Titans would have walked away with a win, but they didn't. And I feel like I've said before about the Titans this season, I feel like their problem is Henry is their only source of offense. So even though he gets them a lot of yards on the ground, I mean, you need some help for Tannehill to at least get the ball to. And that's why I think they made a huge mistake in trading away A.J. Brown. They should have just paid the dude because they're going to have to pay somebody next year or draft somebody. Trevor Lawrence, he is looking more and more like the real deal. I mean, obviously in his rookie season, you can't judge that by really by its cover just because most every rookie season for everybody sucks. But, I mean, and then he also had the clown show Urban Meyer as his coach as well. So you couldn't really expect much from the Jaguars last year. But this year, Trevor Lawrence is getting better with every single game, especially this last month. He's looked really good, looked really solid. He's cut down on the stupid interceptions. I mean, he still has some turnovers, of course. He still has some room to work with and grow, but he's looking real good. He went 30 for 42, 368 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, tight end Evan Ingram, he had a huge game yesterday, 11 receptions, 162 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So, Jaguars got a big win against the Titans, and I don't know, the Titans actually might want to watch out for the Jaguars, because if the Titans get a few more losses, the Jaguars get a few more wins, shit's going to be spicy up in that division. Then the Philadelphia Eagles were at the New York Giants, and this went exactly as expected. The Eagles smashed the Giants 48-22. Wasn't close at all. As a matter of fact, here is the scoring line for the Eagles in each quarter. In the first quarter, they scored 7. In the second quarter, they scored 17. Third quarter, 10. And fourth quarter, 14. So they just did not let the foot off the gas pedal in this one, and good for them. I mean, I like to see teams do that. I hate when teams get conservative when they don't need to. And so the Eagles just keep charging on. And I got to say, I am starting to change my opinion on who is the MVP in the league. I've pretty much been Team Mahomes for the MVP for a while now. Jalen Hurts is starting to make me a believer, and that says a lot because you know me, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I fucking hate the Eagles. That's the last team I want to give credit to. That's the last team I want to see winning ever. I want to see them at 1-12, not 12-1. But I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts is that dude, and he is having an incredible year just statistically. So I'm starting to actually turn my opinion right now, and I'm leaning more towards now Hurts as the MVP of the league over Mahomes. And it's really just because Hurts has been, I don't think he's even had a down game this season. And not that Mahomes has really had a bad game either, but he has had a few turnovers. I believe now Mahomes has 11 interceptions on the season. He threw like three yesterday against the Broncos. So whereas Hurts has not had a game like that. So I kind of am leaning towards Hurts. We'll see how the rest of the season goes, but dude's on fire. Hurts went 21 for 31, 217 yards and two touchdowns. Miles Sanders on the ground had 17 carries, 144 yards, two touchdowns. A.J. Brown had four receptions, 70 yards and one touchdown. Just offensively, they are just unstoppable. And then defensively, they're stopping everybody they're playing. So Eagles just keep on rolling. Then the afternoon games, we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos, which was shocking because at one point, the Chiefs were up on the Broncos like over 20 points, I think like 24, 28 points, something like that at one point in the game. And then all of a sudden, it's like a legit game. And I'm like, what is going on here? Are the Chiefs actually going to lose to the Broncos? Because actually, the Broncos have not beat the Chiefs in the last 13 times. And now it's 14 because the Chiefs did get the win 34-28. But I was really shocked at how close that was just because the Broncos have been just terrible. But, I mean, division opponents, shit just happens. But Mahomes did have he had a great game too. 28 for 42, 352 yards, and three touchdowns. So, I mean, his stat line's amazing. It really is. I mean, he's leading the league in basically every quarterback category. It's just that Jalen Hurts, I feel like that dude's just making a huge case for MVP, even though Mahomes has these huge stat lines, and he also is too. I mean, really, MVP is all about if you take this player off the team, how would they look? Obviously, I think in both cases, if you got rid of Mahomes from the Chiefs and Hurts from the Eagles, shit would be way different for those teams right now. But Mahomes had a great game, even though he had those three interceptions, but it's still a solid game. And then Jerick McKinnon, their running back, had a huge game in the receiving game. Seven receptions, 112 yards, and two touchdowns. And then Pacheco on the ground had 70 yards. So just another complete game offensively for the Chiefs. But as I've mentioned, their defense is pretty suspect. It's had its moments. They're big on sacks, and they have had quite a few turnovers. It's just they tend to give up a lot of points, and the Broncos' offense is not good. Not good at all. Hell, even Russell Wilson ended up having to leave the game because he got a concussion. And so their backup quarterback was in, and he started putting up points. So we'll see what happens with that Chiefs defense. But that was a close win by the Chiefs. Still got the win, though. Then the blowout of the day. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers. This was never a game. 35-7, San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they just blew out the Bucs. Now, honestly, I'm not surprised because the Bucs, and even Brady said this in his press conference after the game, that this team hasn't been consistent at all. They haven't been able to get a real run going. The receivers have been dropping passes. Tom Brady's been missing passes, overthrowing players. Having some uncharacteristic interceptions. The offensive line can't block for shit. The penalties have been, to me, when I'm watching a Bucs game, I almost feel like I'm watching a Dallas Cowboys game with the penalties, because that's how many penalties they have. And that says a lot, because the Cowboys get a lot of penalties themselves. But that's just how I've been feeling about the Bucs. And then they're their defense is just not good at all either. The secondary keeps getting blown up, and they can barely get any pressure on the quarterback. And Brock Purdy, he made his debut yesterday, and he looked pretty solid for the third-string rookie quarterback. I still stand by my statement that I don't believe the 49ers are going to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as their starting quarterback. They will definitely make the playoffs, and they should make some noise. But at some point, the Brock Purdy is going to come back down to earth, and he is going to make some mistakes because he is a rookie. But hey, shout out to him. He got a huge win yesterday. Niners just overall looked really solid. Christian McCaffrey had a great game, 14 carries, 119 yards, one touchdown. Brandon Ayuk had a big game, two receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. And that's really just because he had to take over for Debo, because Debo ended up spraining his ankle in, I believe, like the second, third quarter. But it looked pretty bad, but it actually ended up not being so bad. But still, missing Debo is going to be a big deal. But their defense just had Tom Brady running for his life. And then it was hilarious to see because at the end of the game, literally like the entire Niners team is like running up to Tom Brady. And even, I can't remember, I think it was Dre Greenlaw. Yeah. He had an interception on Brady, and he comes running up to Brady, and he's got his football in hand that he intercepted from him. He's like, "Can I get your autograph?" And Tom Brady straight up autographs the football. And like the whole time, he's like, "Oh my God, I've been watching you since I was 2 years old. I love you. You're the GOAT. I can't believe like it." And he even said it. He's like, "I fangirled out over Tom Brady." So it's actually really funny to kind of see that. I kind of wonder what that's like for him. But I mean, that's what happens when you're in the league so freaking long. Because I'm not going to lie, I would be the exact same way. If I was a football player, even if I lost to him, if I won to him, I wouldn't care. I'd be like running up to him like, yo, I got an interception. Can you sign the ball? Like that was, it was awesome. It was, and even Brock Purdy was like, "I can't believe I actually got to like shake his hand." And he like said, "Good game." And so, yeah, no, that was actually really cool to see Tom Brady be a good sport like that, because, you know, getting your ass beat like that, and he said before the game he had to get 100 tickets for this game because, you know, this is kind of a homecoming for him because he's from the Bay Area, and he got blown out in front of his entire family, and it was an embarrassing game from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all around. And after the game, he was happy to sign autographs for the guys who he threw interceptions to and just got stomped to. So I think shit like that's cool, just because I truly hate crybabies. I think people who act like poor sports and are crybabies, it's just so stupid, because at the end of the day, it is just a game. I know you get paid for it, and it really is serious, especially to people like Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, it is just a game, and there are people who have looked up to him, and it's cool to see that he obliges and was completely nice about it too. He had a big smile on his face, and it was really hilarious to see. "Can I get your autograph? I've been loving you since I was 2 years old." It was just great. Then another surprising game, the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. Panthers just took off on this game. They were dominating from start to finish. They did not let up. They got the win 30-24. And I don't know what's going on with them, but the Panthers are in the worst division in the league, and they actually have a shot at winning this division just because the Buccaneers, they're playing like shit. Falcons are playing like shit. Saints are playing like shit. And the Panthers are actually kind of on fire right now. If you compare them to the rest of the division, and they're a very scrappy team. So right now the Panthers are actually a legitimate playoff contender at this point in time. They really had a solid game yesterday. Chuba Hubbard, he had 14 carries, 74 yards, and one touchdown. And it's just weird because Sam Darnold's really come in and kind of changed this, turned this team around. And Steve Wilks, the dude is no bullshit. I'm not lying. I hope he gets a legit shot at being coach of the Panthers. I think he should be the coach of the Panthers just because you can tell how the complete 180 this team has made. And he doesn't have a lot of good players. They're kind of a chump squad. They don't have a lot of like go-to guys you look at and go, that's an A-list player right there. He's a game changer. He's going to do something. And they're just playing scrappy, good-ass football. So I can imagine what Wilkes would be like if he had like a good quarterback, if he got to, you know, draft this team, build his coaching staff. Because what I like about him, he is no bullshit. And I like coaches like that who are just no bullshit, all about the football. And I kind of see he's similar to Mike Tomlin, I feel like. So I really hope he gets a legit shot, if not from the Panthers. I feel like he should get a legit shot with anybody because what he's done with the Panthers so far, and if they make the playoffs, yeah, that's a big deal in my opinion. Geno Smith actually did have a really good game, even though they lost. He went 21 for 36, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns, so guy had a big game. Marquise Goodwin, their wide receiver, he had 5 receptions, 95 yards and a touchdown. So yeah, good game by the Panthers, and they are slowly chipping away at their lead and may possibly make the playoffs, which is just crazy because, I mean, they traded away their best player, Christian McCaffrey, and they're stacking up the draft picks, and here they are, potentially going to make the playoffs. And then the Sunday night football game was the Miami Dolphins at the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Chargers pretty much dominated this game from start to finish. It did end up close in the end, 23-17 win by the Chargers. But really, for the most part, they owned this game. Justin Herbert is something else. I really, really hope the Chargers do not waste Justin Herbert and the talent this guy has. Watching him throw the ball is just, it's so beautiful. Him and Josh Allen have two of the prettiest passes in the league, and just to watch them is just, if you're a football fan and you love just watching just a quarterback throw a ball, Justin Herbert does it right. And then he also can just move around the pocket. He's shifty as hell. I mean, he had like no time at all last night. And he just delivers the ball with precision and zip. And he's just an excellent quarterback. And it was just an all-around good game from the Chargers. I don't know where the hell this defense came from last night. They made Tua look like an average quarterback yet again. He was missing some really bad passes last night. He overthrew some guys. He did mix in the running a little bit, which he really hasn't done since his concussion. But I kind of feel like, and I felt like this about the Dolphins all season, that they were going to start off the season hot, and then eventually they were going to start to get exposed as the season wore on. And I feel like that's what's happening right now, because Niners, damn good team, and they kicked their ass last week. Chargers, a pretty okay team. Their defense, not near the caliber of the Niners, but they really held it down yesterday. And the Chargers, they're still an up-and-down team for me, but the Dolphins, I think, got exposed. And they're going to Buffalo this week, too. So there's a potential that the Dolphins are going to lose 3 games in a row, because they've now lost 2. As I said, Justin Herbert had a great game last night. He went 39 for 51, 367 yards and 1 touchdown. Austin Eckler had 15 carries, 45 yards and a touchdown. And then Mike Williams had a big game, 6 receptions, 116 yards and a touchdown. Also, on the opposite side of the ball, really the only positives about the Dolphins was Tyreek Hill. There was this one point where I think it was in the second quarter when the Dolphins, I believe it was Raheem Mostert who had the ball, he fumbled the ball. And so there was a big scrum around the ball as usual. And it just happened to pop out of the pile of guys, and Tyreek Hill is standing right there. Ball pops right out to him. He picks it up. And since everybody is focused on this scrum, nobody really realizes that Tyreek Hill is running around it. And he just goes for daylight and hits a touchdown and has a beautiful touchdown. I mean, even if he wasn't so fast, nobody would have caught him. I feel like Tom Brady would have been able to run this touchdown just because everybody was focused on the pile of guys thinking that the ball's there, and it just magically popped out in the hands of Tyreek Hill. He also had another big touchdown as well. So outside of him, Dolphins did not have a good night, but Justin Herbert and the Chargers did. Still don't know what I feel about them. Wouldn't be shocked if they lose. I don't know who they play this week, but wouldn't be shocked if they lose, just because that's how the Chargers do. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Never fucking consistent. Then tonight's Monday Night Football game is the New England Patriots at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now the Patriots are a 1.5-point favorite, which is just weird to me. And that's really just because the Patriots' offense is just garbage. Not that the Cardinals are any better. I feel like the Cardinals are pretty much a shitty team, too. But, you know, I feel like they have a little bit more spark. Even even though they've just had their issues all season long and they really haven't been able to get any consistency going, I kind of feel like New England's a team you can get it going against. Also, I know New England has a couple of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, and they won't be playing tonight. One of them is one of the running backs, and that's pretty much the only offense that the Patriots get is on the ground game. So I kind of see just this just being a bad game for the Patriots tonight. And the Cardinals are just able to capitalize on the mistakes and the lack of offense from the Patriots tonight. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to get the win 23-13. Now moving on to my top 10 NBA power rankings, and we have a shakeup this week. We actually have some new teams in the top 10, but we also have ourselves a new number one, which I am thankful for. It's not the Lakers, of course, because they still pretty much suck. I mean, they've been improving, and I mean, Anthony Davis is looking good so far, but I mean, they're nowhere near the top 10, and they're still not looking that great. But the new number one this week is the New Orleans Pelicans. They are 18-8 on the season. They are currently on a 7-game winning streak, and that is the longest streak in the NBA right now. But they are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they are on fucking fire. This past week, they beat the Detroit Pistons and the Phoenix Suns twice. And against the Phoenix Suns, they pretty much dominated the Phoenix Suns. One of the games was a complete blowout. And it's just the Zion Williamson show. It's nice to see that he's finally healthy and finally doing what we all expected him to do when he was drafted. He is just killing it right now. He's averaging 25 points per game, and he just keeps getting better and better with every game. And so it's nice to see him do what he was expected to do. Also, surprisingly, right now, the Pelicans are second in points per game in the NBA right now, averaging 118 points per game. So they are just blowing people out of the arena. And when you blow out the Phoenix Suns, that says a lot. So right now, the Pelicans are on fire, and they are my number one team on my top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Then at number two, the Boston Celtics did not fall far. Overall record of 21-6. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This week they beat the Toronto Raptors and the Phoenix Suns, but lost to the Golden State Warriors. They are first in points per game at 120 points per game. So they're also scoring people out of the arena. Jason Tatum is just killing it right now. I would say he's probably the leader of the pack for this early season MVP right now. He's averaging 30 points per game. So yeah, the Celtics, the only reason why they fell behind the Pelicans, because the Pelicans are on fire at this current point in time. So, and, you know, coming off of a loss to Golden State, but still, I mean, there's nothing bad to say about the Celtics right now, at least. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 17-9, and they are currently on a 5-game winning streak. And they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Miami Heat, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Detroit Pistons. They are currently first. They lead the league in rebounds, which is crazy because, you know, it's Adams, and nobody's really talking about him. But, hey, he is scrappy in the paint. But, you know, the Grizzlies are all about ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja. Just killing it. Ja Morant killing it this season. Grizzlies looking really good right now. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 19-7. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Orlando Magic, the Sacramento Kings, and the Dallas Mavericks, and they lost to the Houston Rockets. And it's still just the Giannis Antetokounmpo show. Drew Holiday, though, is having an excellent season as well, and they have Middleton back now. So, I expect the Bucks to just continue their dominance in the Eastern Conference and just keep looking good. As long as Giannis is playing great, they should be playing great. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 16-10. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks but got wins against the Portland Trail Blazers and the Utah Jazz. And just Nikola Jokic, this guy is, he leads every category on this team. It's like he's the entire team. It's absolutely nuts how much Nikola Jokic just dominates the league. I could imagine if he actually played for like a team like the Lakers or the Knicks, like one of those flashy teams that people talk, you know, the Warriors or something, because I feel like he would get a lot more press and people would talk a lot more about him, but doesn't matter. He is killing it over in Denver. And also Denver is leading the league in field goal percentage, shooting over 50%. And they're second in three-point percentage as well. So they're just extremely efficient when it comes to shooting. And, I mean, that's just Jokic. That guy is just a killer. He's making a case for yet another MVP. And then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 17-10, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder and lost to the Sacramento Kings. And really, this team just still continues to be all about Donovan Mitchell, just fitting right in. He is literally the missing piece to this team. And, you know, if they keep it up, they are going to be a force in the Eastern Conference for sure. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, they haven't made many appearances this season so far in my top 10 because they haven't looked that good, but they're finally getting their shit together. They are 14-12 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Rockets, but got wins against the Lakers and Charlotte. And Joel Embiid is just continuing his domination as well. He's averaging 33 points per game right now. They did get James Harden back, so we'll see what happens there. They should probably get Maxey back pretty soon as well. So once they get their full team back, I feel like the 76ers are going to be back to being one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and another playoff competitor as well. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that has not come near the top 10, but I couldn't not put them on the list this week, and that is the Brooklyn Nets. Overall record of 16-12. They are on a three-game winning streak, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games, which is why I was like, shit, I got to put the Nets in there because they're actually playing well. They've actually been playing well the last couple of weeks. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, Atlanta Hawks, and the Indiana Pacers, and it's just the Kevin Durant show. He is averaging 30 points per game right now, and he's really just willing his team to win. He's having just a spectacular season, as he normally does, and Ben Simmons, the big crybaby, he's been okay. I wouldn't say he's been some game changer, but he's actually played games, as well as Kyrie Irving. It's really shocking that these two idiots actually decided to play basketball, but that's for now. You know, next month they could start their period and change their fucking minds. But right now, Kevin Durant's got them in line, and the Nets are actually playing pretty decent basketball at this current point in time. We'll see how long it lasts, but Durant just looking awesome. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that has taken a huge tumble this week, the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 16-11, and it's because they are on a four-game losing streak, and they're only 5-5 in their last 10 games. So they just they're just not looking good right now. They lost this week to Dallas, Boston, and to New Orleans twice. And I mean, they're just having a down time, I guess, in their season. That's why I couldn't drop them out of the top 10. I mean, they're still one of the best teams in the West. I don't know. We'll see. They took a pretty big tumble this week. We'll see if they're able to put it together again. But right now they are reeling. Then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings are the Golden State Warriors. Overall record of 14-13. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Indiana Pacers and the Utah Jazz and got a big win against the Boston Celtics. This team just continues to be all about Steph Curry. Dude is averaging 30 points per game. He just can't miss. He's still just making the crazy circus trick shots. And they're just really holding it down. They've so far had kind of a bumpy season. It's been very up and down, not very consistent from them. But right now, they're looking pretty decent. And I think they're good enough to at least be in my top 10. Now moving on to college basketball. Now before I get to the top 10 college basketball rankings this week, there is a bit of college basketball news, and it actually concerns my favorite team, the Texas Longhorns. Our coach, Chris Beard, he was actually just arrested this morning for domestic violence. Basically, what happened was, the story has not come out. We don't know who he attacked. It was a family member, but basically, at like 4:30 this morning, police were called to what is known, I guess, as a hotshot call. And what that means is whatever was going on, that usually means if, say, somebody's being attacked, they're being attacked like in real time. So it's very important that the cops get there. Excuse me. And they did get there, and they ended up arresting him, and he was charged with domestic violence against somebody in his family, apparently strangulation. He did get released on bond, and the Longhorns, just right before I got on air, it was announced that he's been suspended right now. I believe indefinitely. I obviously didn't read too much into it, just because it happened like right before I hit record, pretty much. But, you know, that's a pretty big deal. You're the coach. I have a very, very hardline stance when it comes to coaches and to the GMs and to all the higher ups. I feel like they are held to a much higher standard. And by the way, this doesn't count owners. Owners are just owners. They should be held to a higher standard, but we all know they aren't. And honestly, who the fuck cares? But all the other people, they are held to a higher standard. And especially the coach, because you are the coach. Especially a coach of a college team, because you're basically, I don't like to call college kids kids, because they're over the age of 18, and that's just patronizing, and I think people who refer to them as kids is just kind of stupid. But they are young, and they are impressionable, and they are at a stage in their life where if you are a coach, they more than likely look up to you in some type of way. And if you're a coach like Chris Beard, who actually is a good coach. He's had a very, very solid career throughout his entire, not with just the Longhorns, but before this as well. But that's a big deal. And honestly, I wouldn't be upset if he were to be fired, because I'm going to keep it real with you. Coincidentally, last year, I remember when he first became the coach, I was actually watching a Longhorns game, and I remember thinking to myself, now, before I say what I'm going to say, I judge people. So, I don't feel bad about it. I don't care if that bothers you. I don't care. I don't give a shit. If you want to know what I think about you, well, you'd be shocked. I'd probably think you're an idiot or ugly or fat or stupid. And I do that. I judge people and I give zero fucks about it. So when I first saw Chris Beard and I see him like walking up and down the sideline, as you see, my first instinctual thought about this guy was, he looks like he gets drunk and beats up his wife. That's the vibe I got from the dude. And so far, he's proving me right. So I call him like I see him, I guess. So, we'll see what happens there. Obviously, like I said, no details have been really released on what actually happened. I'm sure we will find out. And I live in Austin. So, you know, the investigative reporting, and I might even get even more like more local news that goes more in depth on it. So if I hear anything of interest, I will report it, especially if he ends up getting fired, because in my opinion, this is absolutely a fireable offense. I don't have an issue with them suspending him, because obviously you do want to look into what's happening. For all we know, he could have been set up. I kind of doubt it. Usually in these cases, that's actually not the case. I'm sure there's a bunch of UT fans who are super upset and grabbing their tiki torches and acting like he did absolutely nothing, even though we don't know anything. They just are upset because how dare you ruin our basketball season, when it should actually be on this dude who ruined the basketball season. Because even if he didn't do what he's accused of, you hang out with these people and you invite them in your life. So you should be held accountable for your actions. Even if things are setups or whatever, that's your problem for choosing wrong in your life. So we'll see what happens with the UT coach. And it really sucks, because Longhorns basketball is doing really well right now. And that kind of thing can really fuck up a season. So we'll see where that goes. Now on to much more lighthearted things. And that would be the top 10 this week of the coaches poll for the college basketball. And actually, there's been a lot of shakeups this week. We do have a new number one. That would be Purdue, who are 10-0 on the season. So they are number one this week. Number two is Virginia. They are 8-0 on the season. Number three, UConn, 11-0 on the season. Gotta say, really nice to see UConn back to being ranked. I mean, it feels like forever since UConn's been a legit team. And here they come back again. Then at number four, we have Alabama. They're 8-1. And that looks like, because I remember last year, they actually really started to get going last year. And then they were pretty good come March Madness time and tournament time. It's nice to see that they're continuing on into this season. And they're ranked number four. So we'll see what happens with Alabama. Maybe they're going to become the basketball powerhouse instead of the football powerhouse. Since, you know, no college football playoff for you this year, bitches. Then at number five, Houston fell. They're 9-1. They did suffer their first loss this week. So that's why they are no longer number one. Then at number six, Tennessee. They are 9-1. Number seven, my Texas Longhorns took a little tumble. They are 7-1 because they did lose to Illinois earlier in the week. Then at number eight, we have Kansas. They are 9-1 on the season. Number nine, Arizona, 8-1. And then rounding out the top 10 in college basketball this week is Arkansas, who are also 9-1. All right, guys, enjoy the week of football, and I will talk to you all on Wednesday.